You are listening to the teaching ministry of Valor Christian Center's Pastors Scott and Tina Witwam.
Father, we thank you this morning. I thank you that you've sent Jesus to take upon himself all of my burdens. The chastisement of my peace was upon his back. He was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By his stripes, I was healed. Hallelujah. And I thank you. Then in Peter it says to cast all our cares upon him. For he cares for me. We thank you, Father, for that today. And Father, as we open your word, as we seek your face, and we seek first the kingdom. Holy Spirit, we ask that you bring revelation to us. And we'll be sure to give you all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's really good to be here this morning. We had an opportunity to be somewhere else with some friends of ours, you know, that we're doing church. They said, come, we're having this great thing. Come, be a part of it. And said, it's Healing Service Sunday. I really feel to be here, be at Valor Christian Center. You know, we have stood up and made a bold statement and declared that Jesus is the healer and that nothing is impossible with God if you will only believe. See, God's not looking for common. God's looking for uncommon. God takes uncommon people and does mighty things. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, I was gone this week, and before I left, you know, I was, what should I prepare? Because, you know, I like to be prepared. That's just my nature. I'm a preparer. I'm a list maker. You know, I want to make sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And I really felt not to prepare. Outside your comfort zone, amen? And as the week went on, the Lord started to reveal something in me that really kind of surprised me a little bit. I remember back a little over seven, it was over 7 years ago, back to 2014 and 2015. When we made the bold stance and said, hey, the last Sunday of the month is going to be healing service. And we're going to pray for the needs and we're going to see God move in a miraculous manner. Well, isn't that what the whole book of Acts is about? People taking a bold stand for God and seeing him move in a miraculous manner. That's why I like Acts chapter 4 so much. You know, when it says, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the mighty name of Jesus. And so, as I was meditating, the Lord said, have you noticed? Back in 2014 and 2015, when you'd have a healing service, the altars were packed. And we saw God do some miraculous things by the testimonies of the people themselves, of glaucomas, of scoliosis, of hearing deficiencies, of back problems, of heart problems, of cancers. God's miraculous hand healing. And think back to 2014, 2015. And I started to declare that my job is to put doctors and hospitals out of business. That really is your job. That is the job of the church. I think doctors and hospitals are very important. I have three doctors. Two of them are naturopathic doctors. And one of them takes my insurance. You know, so I have two real doctors and then a doctor that takes my insurance. So I don't not believe in doctors. Luke was a doctor. He wrote the Gospel of Luke. He wrote the book of Acts. He was a doctor. See, Paul used wisdom. You only need to get stoned a few times to realize you need a doctor around. Boy, in Arizona, you can't really say that anymore. That's the reason people are getting stoned, is because they got a doctor around. So doctors have their place. But realize that doctors don't know everything. Because none of them have a profession. All of them have a practice. You know, baseball players have a profession and they go to practice. Doctors, they don't have a profession. They just have a practice. Bring in the next test subject. You know, I mean, that's literally what it is. You know, I remember when we were pastoring, this would have been back probably 1999, 2000 time, I had all of the symptoms of flu in my body. And so I went to the doctor. I'm like, what's going on? I want to know what's going on. What am I fighting? Well, this time the doctor wasn't available. Thank God the doctor wasn't available. He'd been practicing for years on me and never figured this out. But there was an intern there. See, an intern was at least interested because he's trying to become a doctor so he can get to practice. See, he hasn't even made the practice squad yet. He's interested in making the practice squad. So he takes time to read charts and stuff. And he came in and he goes, you know, I've been looking at your charts for the last 3 or 4 years. And he says, you've been in here every year at the exact same time. He says, I don't think you've got the flu. He says, I think you've got an allergy. Well, I said, well, I'm out of my tractor all the time doing work, cutting fields and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. See, doctors can be valuable, but they only have a practice. And that's why we need a physician. His name is Jesus. He is the great physician. He is not practicing. He is in the healing business. He is in the wholeness businesses. He's in the health business. He's in the prospering business. He's in the peace business. He's in the unification business. And so as I was meditating this week, I realized that, yeah, the altars used to be full. But you know, when you start preaching faith and start teaching people that, you know, there are different ways to be healed. And one way, but not the only way, God heals is through the laying on of hands. And God also heals through the working of miracles. And we spent, I think it was 26 weeks or something, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Be quite truthful with you and frank with you. I'll be frank with you over there, Frank. Is we hardly even scratched the surface dealing with the administration of the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healings, and the working of miracles, the gift of faith. But that's one way God heals. But see, that way works as the Spirit wills. You don't have actual control over what the Spirit of God's going to do. Our job is to be obedient, but the Holy Spirit operates and manifests Himself as He wills. But the operation of faith Faith never sleeps. Faith is there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you can't even get saved, because you are saved by faith, or by grace, through faith. Faith is your 7/24 guard, your protection. So we start talking about faith. Start talking about you can have, you know, Brother Hagin did a series, and I remember when I was a very young Christian, you can have what you say. And I think another one is write your own ticket with God. Well, you can, because your words matter. You can have what you say. You know, I've heard people say, well, you just can't order God around. I'm not ordering God around. I'm not telling God what to do. He told me what he would do. He said, if I would do, he would do. He said, I have done, so if you do what I tell you to do, it will be manifest in your life. And so the healing lines have gotten smaller. If you need prayer, we want to pray and agree with you. We want to stand with you. A lot of times in the healing line, there's couple, two, three people up here saying, well, I'm standing in four. Well, praise the Lord. We've anointed cloths and sent them and had people tell us that, man, so-and-so put that cloth under my pillow. It was the first night's sleep I got in a long time. Why? Because the word works. The word always works. And so I really felt impressed by the Lord to talk today about how to keep your healing. I can tell you over the years when I traveled across Canada and some parts of the U.S. and was involved with healing crusades, and we would go to a church and it would be packed out, the altars would be full, and we'd see people throwing crutches and getting out of wheelchairs, and it was marvelous. We saw deaf ears open. And, it just miracles after miracles. But we'd come back and do a crusade again in that same church or that same town a year later, and the same people were back in the same prayer lines for the same exact reason. You know, and people from the outside are saying, see, it wasn't real. It didn't last. Well, there must be an issue. There must be a disconnect between the receiving and the keeping. Amen? Amen. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, it says, have the God kind of faith. Or have faith in God, but in the Greek, really, a good interpretation is have the God kind of faith. Well, what kind of faith does God have? Somebody would say, well, he's got big faith. Well, good, that's nice. Let's have big faith. But see, God has the kind of faith that calls things that do not exist as though they did. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. Well, if God said, let there be, there must not have been. And do you think that when God said, let there be light, he sat around saying, well, I wonder if the light will really come? No, because faith is undissuadable. You can't turn faith away. Because faith is the substance, or as the Amplified says, and I like this one, the title deed. It is the assurance of the thing that you're hoping for is going to be manifest. And that's why the word says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. God who calls those things that do not exist as though they did. When God called Abraham and told him he'd have children as many as the stars of the sky, had it manifest itself yet? No, it hadn't manifest itself yet. But God still said it. Did it come to pass? Oh, yeah. Think about the billions of people that now fit into that confession of God. And so one of the ways, or I guess number one way that we keep our healing is we do it God's way. We have faith in God, but we must confess like God confesses. In verse 23 of Mark 11, verse 23 says, say unto the item, say unto the issue, say unto the fig tree, say unto the mountain, say unto the problem, be removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say will be done, and you will have whatever you think about. No, it says whatever you say. And if you look in that verse, Jesus said saying is three times more important than believing. Why is that? Because you can have faith in your heart with doubt in your head. Your head, your brain operates in the flesh realm, in the soul realm, in this world realm. That's why we need to renew our mind, renew our soul to conform to the Word of God. But our spirit man, the heart of man is where we believe. And so since faith comes by hearing, when we say it, we hear it. Amen? And so, in order for us to be like God, you heard Pastor Tina say, we were made in God's likeness. We were made in His image. That Hebrew word there literally means we were made like an exact duplicate of God. It would be the same way that a sculptor takes a block of granite and chisels it out to make it look exactly like the person he's carving. It's an exact image. You were made in the image of God to operate just like God operates. Adam was designed to operate like God operates. Adam, mankind, just like God. He wasn't to lack for anything. All of his needs were to be met, just like God. So the first thing is we need to have the God kind of faith and be willing to say what it is we are believing for. It doesn't matter what it is. I don't have time today, and you can get one of the lessons that we've taught on it before. Aaron's taught three or four lessons on it, but you can go back to verses 10 and 11 and see that Jesus really wasn't talking about a mountain at all. He was talking about whatever is your hindrance, whatever is your problem, that's what we need to say to. So if somebody comes up here and in the healing line, we pray for them. And then you say to them, I believe you're healed. And they say, oh, I hope so. Mouth, words, say unto this mountain, be removed. So say unto your problem, it's gone. So somebody says, well, I can't lie. I'm not asking you to lie. If somebody says, are you sick? You can say, hey, I've got 103 degree temperature. But 1 Peter 2:24 says that by his stripes I was healed. I am the healed. Sickness may try to come upon me and symptoms may attack me, but that does not define me. Our mouth is an important part of retaining what we've received from the Lord. And generally, when the manifestation comes from a manifestation of the Holy Spirit or from the laying on of hands, those are both out of your control, and therefore your faith wasn't necessarily the impetus of it. It could have been a sovereign move of God. But I will tell you that you're more likely, if you've been healed by faith, to retain by faith because you're probably already speaking the word. But one of the reasons why people are coming back in the healing lines for the exact same reason again is because when they get home, they revert back to home talk. You know, when you're at church, you have church talk. Got to talk like this because pastor may overhear me. You know, it's really funny. My sister, she may be watching this morning. She goes, I catch myself doing it all the time. She goes, I don't even know where those words come from. But you know what? Once you are conscious of it, now you can start to control it. And I know what people mean when they say take care. They mean, you know, stay safe, be well, be good. But we live in a society where people take care, and they carry care, and they take other people's cares. They take other people's offenses. I don't want any of it. So if you say, take care, Pastor, and I say, I won't, don't be offended because I have no intention of taking your care. I have no intention of taking my care. And I sleep very well, thank you. The words we speak. I just love you to death. Really? Do you want me to die, do you? But it comes out of your mouth. Oh, man, that was so funny. That just kills me. I mean, I hear these things from people. I used to say them, and I catch myself. I don't like to use the word sorry because he carried my sorrow. I try to find another word. But every now and then, I don't know where it comes from, but it must have been down in there deep. A sorry tries to come up. I have to say, no, I'm not sorry. He took my sorrow. He carried my pains. The words. And when people go home, when they go to work, they get around their friends, they don't want to be ostracized, so they want to speak, and you know, peer pressure is really big. They don't watch their tongue. And I don't remember who the author was, but they wrote the book, Hung by the Tongue. Remember when I was a young Christian, I got hold of that. Hung by the tongue. The words you say are killing you when they should be healing you. The words you say should be bringing life. They should be manifesting the things that God has for you into your life. We need to change the words we say. And in Proverbs 18:21, it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. See, but he who loves it will eat the fruit thereof. If you love life, you will make a conscious effort to be like God, to call those things that do not exist as though they do. Well, Pastor, it really can't mean that much. It could be the difference between your life and your death. Well, I really don't think it. Well, you know, the Bible doesn't operate by what you think. And be quite honest with you, God really doesn't care what you think. From his standpoint, you've got no opinion in the matter. So the number one way to keep your healing is to change your conversation, to change your words. But it got bigger. So, doesn't change the word of God. Bible says that by his stripes you were healed. Yeah, but it doesn't look real good today. Doesn't matter. By his stripes you were healed. I think it's really, really funny because, You know, typically when I'm in a public place, I'll pray for food because it's a great opportunity to make a public declaration, even in today. People are like, oh, did somebody pray? Yeah, but in Exodus, it says he would bless my food and water. That means whether you pray or not, my food and water are blessed. And he told me that because he blessed my food and water, he would take sickness away from the midst of me. So I got a double blessing, whether you pray for the food or not. My food is blessed, and so is my whatever I drink, and sickness has no right to dwell in my body. Pastor, we tried it for 3 weeks, and it didn't work. Well, yes, it did. No, Pastor, it didn't work. This faith thing didn't work. That speaking it out didn't work. Oh, yes, it did work. Exactly what you are saying is exactly what you're getting. It didn't work because that's your confession. Remember, John Avizi wrote a book called It Isn't Working, Brother John, around finances, around tithing and giving. And you see people like, boy, I did it for 6 months, and this tithing thing just doesn't work. Yeah, it does. It's working exactly in accordance with what you believed. Because if you believed it would work, you wouldn't be telling me it doesn't work. God who calls those things that be not as though they did, as though they were. Faith is the substance of things that's hoped for, but yet it's the evidence, title deed to the thing that you haven't yet seen. So number one is your words. Number two is you got to stop taking actions that are killing yourself. In, I believe it's John chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus is confronted by a bunch of men and one woman. And the men all got rocks in their hands. And they say unto Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. Now, it's the first woman I have ever known that adulterized by herself. But that's neither here nor there. We have a woman caught in adultery. Moses said that we should stone her to death. Right? So you know how it all plays out, and you know. But at the very end, here's Jesus and the woman. And Jesus says, where are your accusers? And Jesus says, I don't accuse you either. But then he says something very profound. Go and sin no more. See, a lot of our sickness and disease is caused by our own doing. It was funny, I just heard a speaker was saying it's amazing because he worked on Benny Hinn's crusade team for a long time. He said, I'd come see people 6 hours in line waiting to come in and get prayed for, to be healed, but unwilling to get up 15 minutes early to exercise. So you see people, I mean, you have a part. Do you know the book of Leviticus has dietary laws? Oh yeah, but you know, Peter and the sheep and all the animals, and we can now eat whatever we want, Pastor. Well yeah, you can. You won't be condemned for what you eat. But whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. I mean, you can't eat coconut pie 3 meals a day and expect to not have a sugar problem. Oh, Pastor, all I eat is coconut pies, but pray for me because the doctor says I got diabetes. Well, if when you leave here healed and you don't stop eating those coconut pies, you're going to be back in the line again saying, doctor says my sugar numbers are up. Go and sin no more. We need to make decisions. We need to make choices. God gave us a brain and he gave us free will. Most of us have the ability to read. You can pick up the Bible, and if you can't read, you can go onto YouTube or on Dish Network, it's channel 265, the Victory Channel, and you can listen and learn about the Bible. Right? We got to change the things that we're doing. We can't be blaming God for everything. Can't be blaming the devil for everything. You know, the devil's sitting over somewhere in the middle of some Muslim country, just kicked back by a pool, I'm sure, saying, look at the people over America. They're blaming me for, I'm getting credit for all of that stuff over there. I ain't even had to visit over there once. A lot of this stuff we cause ourselves. So we need to take right action. We need to take godly action, the God kind of action. What did Jesus say? The things I hear my Father tell me to do and to say, those are the actions I take, right? Those are the actions I take. The third thing we need to do is we need to forgive. I have seen people healed without question, come up just confused as can be and see God give them a straight mind, God relieve everything, but they go right back and start doing the same things with unforgiveness. You know, I like the fact that God has two unforgiveness scriptures right around two of the most used Pentecostal or charismatic scriptures. In Mark 11:25, Jesus says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, what does anything cover? That's right. It covers everything. And anyone? Yes, that covers your brother-in-law. That covers your mother-in-law. Covers your boss and your spouse and yourself, yes. If you have anything against anyone, you got to learn to forgive yourself. Unforgiveness, in fact, is in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, if you won't forgive, I can't forgive. The Father can't forgive if you won't forgive. Forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. If I don't forgive my debtors, my debts are not forgiven. You remember the steward or the parable of the unjust steward who got forgiven all but yet went out and threw somebody who owed him something into prison? The master came back and said, then you'll pay every last penny. See, we need to learn to forgive ourselves and we need to forgive other people. And it is not as easy as saying, well, I forgive Joe. Okay, it's good, I forgave Joe. You know how you tell whether you forgave Joe? When Joe irritates you again and you bring up something that happened 42 years ago at a family reunion. You didn't forgive Joe. That was still down in there. You didn't get rid of it. You said the words, but you never dealt with the unforgiveness. I mean, a lot of your ministry is dealing with those roots that get down deep. Roots of bitterness will cause sickness and disease. What did Jesus tell Peter? My brother offends me, Jesus. How many times should I forgive him? Maybe two or three? Jesus said an innumerable. He said 70 times seven. The point was, it's innumerable. You shouldn't even count. Just do it. Just realize that if there's nothing on the inside of you, no hatred, no bitterness, there's nothing for the devil to get hold of. And just to qualify this, forgiveness doesn't mean you turn a blind eye to something. If somebody's abused one of your children, you can work through the process of forgiveness, but you don't leave your child alone with them. You got to remember, the devil's a snake, and you don't put your hand in the viper's cage. Right? But you can still love them. You can say, look, I love you. If you need help financially, I'll help you financially. If you need prayer, I will pray for you. But you take action to protect so he doesn't have, you know, the enemy doesn't have a chance to come in again. And I've heard people do that. Well, I forgave them and we worked through it and yada, yada. And so then they open the same door of opportunity up. You don't know the hearts of other people, but you know you can know your heart. Search my heart, oh God. I want God to search my heart and to reveal to me the things that I need to do in my life. The other one is in Luke 6:37. Luke 6:37. So let's look at it really quick. Matthew, Mark, look at John. There we go. Luke 6:37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. But see, we don't hear that one very much. We hear verse 38 a lot. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken. And we hear that one a lot. But forgive, and it shall be forgiven. And number four, number four thing for keeping your healing is praise. There is power in praise. There is power in thanksgiving. Hallelujah. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, you got it up there? So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. See, your problems in life will fall down flat in the presence of praise. Praise is a powerful force. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, therefore, by him let us also continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. This is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praise. See, when you are thankful, when you're praising God and you're thankful, it builds relationship. It deepens your relationship with God. And it's not enough just to be healed. We want to stay healed. We want to stay healthy. We want to stay whole. So we need to change our conversation. Stop doing things that are destructive. Forgive and praise. And there's power in it. There's power in it. And so this morning, if you're here and need prayer for anything, spiritual, physical, financial, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. And I told you one way, but not the only way, that God heals by the laying on of hands. Thank God that he heals by the laying on of hands. I'll lay my hands on you. Stand with you by faith, believing that God will do what he said he'd do. He never fails. God never fails. That makes my job pretty easy. Amen. So if you need prayer this morning, I want to invite you to come so I can join my faith with yours.
You have been listening to a recording from the teaching ministry of Valor Christian Center with senior pastors Scott and Tina Witwam. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray this simple prayer with me now. Jesus, according to Romans 10:9, your word says, if I confess you as Lord and Savior and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, that you would come into my heart and I would be saved. I now confess and believe that you are my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, please contact our office so that we may rejoice together with you. Call Valor Christian Center at 480-545-4321. That's 480-545-4321. Or by email at info@valorcc.com. That's info@valorcc.com, or by mail to the church address at 3015 East Warner Road, Gilbert, Arizona, 85296.